We'll go ahead and continue our media availabilities with Coach Joe Gibbs, our race-winning owner. Thanks for joining us, Coach. We'll go right ahead and open it up for questions. If you have one, please raise your hand, and we'll get a mic to you. We'll start here with Chris, and then we'll go back to Trenton in the middle.
Chris Murdoch, NASCAR.com. Coach, it came down to a money stop once again, like it seems like so often some of these races do. I spent some time with the 11 crew on pit road after they came out of victory lane, and they just talked about how appreciative they were of the moment to put it on them. What can you say about them and just the testament to their mentality?
I think, as we all know, it's a total team effort. You got to have everything. I've learned in pro sports, if you can't do one poor part of the performance for the day, you're not going to get anywhere. And thank goodness, you know, that crew has taken it upon themselves. And they kind of told me, they said, hey, that's what we wanted. We come in third, got a chance to win, and come out first. So those guys, I think we've worked extremely hard with our pit crew. And we came from kind of a hole probably 18 months ago. But everybody at our race shop, our coaches, Chris and Brian, really worked hard. And a lot of credit goes to the athletes, too. They work extremely hard. 3 days a week, it's practice. 3 days a week, it is mandatory weight training. And they go through a lot. And, of course, everybody knows in our sport, it means a lot. So, yeah, big deal.
We'll go in the middle here to Trenton.
Trenton Warsham, franchise.com. Somewhere along those lines, I spoke to Chris Gaypart a little bit afterwards about secrets or so, or techniques that you guys use at Joe Gibbs that came out this week. Just talk about the pride that you have in those guys a little bit more, and your experience as a football coach coaching these guys. You know, like you said, you know, 18 months ago, you guys had a lot of work to do, but now you're making the money stops winning races because of it. So just highlighting the pit crew guys this week, you know, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think, like I said, we made a decision when Coy was running the show, he and Matt, and they made a decision to go with young athletes. The problem with that is it takes a while, conditioning, working with them, and you miss some of the veteran leadership. But I think this group over the last 2 years has really worked hard. It's a big deal in our sport. And so we put a lot of emphasis on it, and we're just thankful we got the guys we got there. I think we had a good day on pit road, period, today, with all four of our cars.
All right, we'll go to Chris, and then in the back to Eddie.
Chris Knight, GetTrans.com. Coach, I was just wondering how important it was for Joe Gibbs Racing to sweep the weekends with Brandon Jones getting back in victory lane yesterday.
I thought it was great. I called JR, his dad. He was in the winner's circle, and I called John Menard. John is huge in that program, and talked to everybody, and just thank the world of Brandon. You know, he's won races with us, a number of races. It's great to get him back, and I really think he's got a chance to really do something special this year, and so we'll see. But I know how much it meant to him and JR to get that win, particularly here at Darlington.
All right, we'll go in the back to Eddie, and then we'll come down here to Shane and Jacob.
Hey, Coach, Eddie Kalegi, Motorsports Today. Congrats on the wins this weekend. A lot of people have talked about with Denny Hamlin the longevity that he continues to show, and people wonder when he's going to fall off, and that clearly hasn't happened. Back-to-back wins, being his owner now for 2 decades now, just what about Denny's work ethic continues to keep him at the top of his game?
Well, I can tell you this. You know, one of the things about going in the sim, that's hard work. You're in there, and honestly, I think Denny is in the sim as much as anybody we have, any of the young guys. Stays after it, and I've told the story. I mentioned it the last time I talked about Denny. I went to him at Watkins Glen 2 years ago, and he had struggled road racing. They went as far as putting other setups on his car, and that guy went to work in the sim and worked as hard as he could, and he sat on 3 poles in road racing. And so you get somebody of that age that still has a drive to get it done. I think Denny has a real drive, and I think we're fortunate to have him.
We'll come down here to Shane in the middle, and then to Jacob.
Hey, Coach. Shane Connick, Charlotte Observer. Congratulations on the win.
You bet. Thank you. Thank you.
And how cool is it to get it done here at Darlington in the 75th anniversary and what it means for the sport?
It is cool. Everybody loves coming to Darlington. And I go all the way back to Denny when we first got him. Our final test for him before we signed him, JD, who found him, my son, said, let's put him at Darlington. He'd never been here. Let's put him in an Xfinity car and see what he does. He finished eighth. And JD told me, he said, I think we need to sign this guy. And I said, I agree. But he has had a feeling for Darlington. And of course, he's got a feeling for a number of tracks he's really good at. Just really appreciate Denny, his leadership with our group. He's our veteran guy. And just really appreciate him and what he's done for us. When you think about 56 wins, that's a huge deal. We hang banners at 1 o'clock tomorrow, and he's got 50. He's going to have 56 on the wall. that's a bunch. So I really appreciate him.
We'll come over here.
God's bless us with a bunch of great guys. Yeah.
We'll go over here to Jacob.
Jacob Silman, Race Face Digital Coach. Kind of following on from what Shane asked, you talked about Denny's leadership. How important is it with so much youth now between Bell and Chase and Ty at JGR on the Cup side? How important is it for JGR to still have a veteran leader like Denny who's been there, done that for as long as he has?
I think it's really important. I'll give you an example. This week in the sim, okay, Denny went in first before our young guys. And so I think it means a lot to us, his leadership. And you think about all he's got on his plate, too. You know, Denny's owner of 2311, all of that. And yet he can lead our group, really goes after it. And I think this week was a huge deal for us in that our young guys, they went into the sim after he was through getting it straightened out. So anyway, just really appreciate that. So, oh, Denny's here. I think you guys probably want to talk to him. I'll let you take over, Denny.
Thanks for joining us, Coach. Congratulations on the win. And we're now joined by our race winner, Denny Hamlin. We'll go ahead and open it up right for questions. We'll start here with Jordan and then go to Chris.
You'll get your turn, Bob.
Yeah. I got you, Bob.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. How hard was it pass today? It looked like passing was really difficult,
yeah.
And it looked like a track position heavy race.
It was. Man, we're all just running so equal. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but we're just so close. The field is so close. And so it is. It makes it really, really difficult. And, you know, very similar to last week. Like, you know, we're all kind of falling off at the same rate. Through the run, right? And we got 2 seconds of drop off here, right? That's good. But we're all doing it at the same rate and because the cars are all so very similar. And then once the tires really like wear out, we pit. And that's where typically you'll see a huge disparity in speed between the cars. And so very similar last week where it's just, you know, right when you're getting to see some comers and goers, everyone just kind of pits. To save themselves. And so, yeah, the field's tighter than it has ever been.
This is maybe a really stupid question. We see at intermediate tracks, mile and a halves, where, you know, Kansas pick one, right, where it's competitive and guys are able to race side by side. Why is it here that isn't the case necessarily?
Well, because those tracks have so this has the same intermediate package, right, that those tracks have. The speeds are so much higher at those tracks, and there's more grip, so the draft plays more of a factor. Draft doesn't play as big a factor here. So where aerodynamics is probably, when you think about how you're going to set up your car, right, you think, I'm just going to throw out generic numbers, 80% of the grip you're going to get is going to come from aerodynamics. Here at a track like this, it's, I don't know, it's 50-50 mechanical to aerodynamics. And so you don't have the draft to keep things bunched up. You don't have the long straightaways to allow the guys that are behind to close. So, you know, where you see the best next-gen racing is at tracks that have a lot of grip, that has a tire that's got a lot of grip, and everyone's running a lot of throttle. And then what happens is then you see a lot of side drafting and bump drafting, and, you know, it just keeps us bunched up. But a track like this, it's just a big Richmond where, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, the mechanical side of it, you just can't overcome it when the person out front has the clean air. He has such an advantage. You have to have multiple tenths of speed faster than them to challenge them and pass them. And there's not multiple tenths spread out between first and 30th on speed.
You cycled into the lead on lap 244. That was the first time that a driver had passed William Byron all day. He had led every single lap up to that point. Did you know that? And then what do you think about?
Yeah, we didn't pass him, right?
You cycled the lead, but I mean the fact that someone led 243 laps. I mean,
he led 243 in a row.
Yeah, he led from the start of the green flag to that. You were the first one to take the lead other than him. Like, what do you think of that?
I think at Richmond I led all but 13 laps and had a flat tire at the end. I get how he feels. It sucks. Only I finished 20-something that day. It's painful. I mean, it's, you know, when you can get out front at this track, it is, I can't tell you. It feels like you're running qualifying speeds where you know, when I was running 20th, when I got, you know, kind of in that bad where we pitted early, others didn't, we go back to 20th, it was like, what happened? Like, the aerodynamics just takes over, and it's just, it's bad back there. And so, it's just for William, he probably was running 75-80% probably all day. And you're able to do that when you're out front.
We'll go to Chris and then to Bob.
Chris Murdoch, NASCAR.com. Denny, you kind of touched this on your front stretch interview, but it came down to a money stop. And in talking with your pit crew, they were super appreciative of having that opportunity to hit the money stop. From a driver's point of view, when you're coming down to that last pit stop and the money stop hits, what's that feeling like when you come out first?
So I knew coming in third, I was going to have my best roll of the day. So that is my fastest pit roll, my fastest speed into the box. I needed to put it perfectly on the sign so they don't have to adjust. Like, I needed to stack tenths and tenths and tenths on my side of the job. And then once I get into the pit stall, they drop the right side. I'm like, okay, I know I did a good job on my metrics. Hopefully I didn't speed. But then when they drop the jack on the right, I know right then that, oh boy, this is going to be a heater. And so at that point, then you're just like, you still probably are going to need a little help. Again, the 2-car length gap that the 12 had on us, you know, I don't know what that equates to. It's probably a second of total time. And so the pit crew has to make up some. I have to make up some. And when you stack all that together, you end up going from third to first.
Go to Bob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. Any chance you try to get to 60 or want to get to 60 before the playoffs start so it's not in your head?
I mean, truthfully, it's really 61, you know, but it's, you know, I don't know. I want to get it as soon as possible because you just, you never know, you know, when you don't race anymore. And so I think that, you know, these wins early in the season certainly are beneficial to getting some pressure off for playoff points and, you know, certainly makes me feel good to, you know, keep piling on those wins.
And did you talk to Carl Edwards at all today since you had a scheme and didn't tell you anything good or what?
Well, he said, don't win this race. You know, they might make you do a backflip. I said, there's no chance. I wouldn't make it. I probably would break the back of my head because I wouldn't even get full 180 to flip. So he's way more athletic than I am in that sense. But, you know, I just told him that, you know, it was an honor to carry the scheme because, you know, truthfully, me and Carl probably talk more now or have talked more now that he's out of the sport, we're no longer teammates. And this has been my relationship with most of my teammates, is that that the relationship grows after they're gone. And so really, you know, getting to know Carl and you know, we're so blessed to have him coming back to the sport in the TV role. So, yeah, I've just had some great conversations with him. And, you know, I loved the scheme. It was just like, you know, it just was one that I raced against, one that I got beat by a lot. And so Carl is someone that you certainly look up to.
We're going to come down here to Dustin, then to Trenton, then to Chris.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Denny, obviously a lot was made of last season with the organization going 0 for the last 18. Certainly there were some races where the 20 had opportunity. I think you had some opportunities. This season now have gone out and won 5 of the first 8. How do you look at the balance of power? Are you know, I know there have been a couple races where you guys have won where maybe you didn't lead the most laps. So are you really, you know, that much stronger than others? Or how do you look at, you know, we've certainly seen some other organizations lead a bunch of laps, maybe win some races, maybe not. I
told the team, like, it, you know, the crew chief, I said, you know, don't get offended when I debrief and say that we probably had an 8th place car. You know, it's just, and I think the same could be said for probably a couple Seabells wins, right? Things just kind of fell nice. And so I don't think that we've been, you know, short of last week. Last week was domination, but there hasn't been a lot of dominating Gibbs wins this year. And so, you know, last week was one of the only ones. And then, you know, Seabell at Phoenix was dominating. So, you know, I see it as we had two times that we had the best car, won the race. And then we've had other things just kind of fall our way. And, you know, that's really what our job is on days like this, is to just hang around. When you don't have a race-winning car, you know, don't stuff it in the fence trying to, you know, get second when, you know, third's a pretty good day. And, you know, because anything can happen. And you know, late cautions like this, I've had to go the other way. Texas, I can think of just last year or so, you know, the race is over. And then a late caution, boom, I don't win. I finished 20-something. So we've had many get out of our hands, and it's finally starting to balance itself out. You know, this one certainly is one that, you know, I didn't deserve really as a driver, but, you know, it feels good to get a win that you didn't have the best car, you didn't have race-winning speed, you just did your job just good enough to execute, and keep the team in the game, right? We just, very similar to Houston yesterday, Duke dominated the game, but Houston just kept hanging around just enough and capitalized when the others couldn't close, and that's what happened tonight.
So did you deserve it? So this was one you didn't deserve. You talk about stacking.
Well, I think, you know, certainly the pit crew will get their due this week, but we're always the one that gets all the fanfare for, you know, the wins, and, you know, it goes in our win column, and, you know, that's what the fans see. But, you know, this is truly a team sport, and I love that they, you know, when the pit crew has an opportunity on a green-white checkered and do what they did, like at Richmond a few years ago, take me from third to first, that is their Super Bowl. That is their moment to, like, show out. And so even though we had probably 8-10 stops today, like, no one ever remembers it. But they're going to remember, and they're going to talk about this one, and it's great that they get their due.
We'll go to Trenton in the middle, and then over to Chris.
Denny, TrentonFrenchTrench.com. Denny, the pit crew did get you the money stop to get you the win, but when did you know that you were going to win, that you had a shot to win this race? Because you said you're mired back, you know, around 20th and stuff, didn't have the best car. Was that the moment? And to piggyback off of that, you know, a lot of the Joe Gibbs pit crews were highlighted this week, you know, with training and techniques and that kind of thing. Just talk about the positive light that the pit crews are getting this week on your team as well.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason they're getting and they're starting to be such a crucial part is just like what I said to Jordan. When the field is separated by nothing and you can turn a 20th place car into a top five car by just placing it up front, well, the pit crew has a role in that, right? You know, they just keep chipping away a little bit all day long, and next thing you know, they've helped the driver, they've helped the team make that car faster. So, you know, they have such a crucial role in all this, and a lot of it is it's been more crucial in the next gen era than it was in the previous generation car because of how tight things are. So, you know, when I had an indication we were going to win, it's really off of turn two on the restart. Once we were clear and clear by multiple car lengths, I knew it was over after that.
We'll come over here to Chris, and then in the middle to Jacob.
Chris Knight, GetTrends.com. Denny, this is first back-to-back wins for you since 2012. Does that mean anything? And your thoughts on potentially going for three for three next weekend, considering you're the defending champion of Bristol?
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot. I mean, gosh, I sit here in the media center, and I was – those of you that were there last week, I talked about how this is one that you can pound the chest and it's like, you know, we kicked everyone's ass. I kicked everyone's ass. Do I feel that way today? I don't, but it still feels good. It just doesn't. It doesn't have the feel when you go out and you dominate. But man, it shows up the same on the stat column, and no one will ever know years from now, right? They're just gonna know that we won Darlington, and they'll forget why, which is unfortunate for them. But it's great that the team got me one here. And now, you know, like I said to Chris Gale, it's like, you know, if we can win races where we got a 7th to 10th place car, then, man, I feel good about, you know, going out there and executing when we've got the best car. Obviously, our pit crew is well and capable of keeping us up front. I can still do it. I can still do it at a high level. And so, you know, I like our outlook and to win a lot of races this year. Yeah, I mean – I haven't even thought about Bristol. I mean, truthfully, I'm so week to week. I give each track, you know, about, you know, 7 days of, you know, 8 days of true work. And that will start, you know, tomorrow afternoon.
We'll come over here to Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital. Denny, two for you. First, when Coach was in here, he spoke very highly of particularly your sim work as one of the qualities that's kept you at a high level, even at an age where some other veterans have maybe tailed off. Can you speak to some of the things that you personally have put in to really fight to keep yourself at the top of your game like this?
Well, I mean, you know, this, I think this is accurate. I do most of the sim work for all the cars. So, you know, I, my job, you know, I'll be back in there tomorrow and working on this racetrack and working on tires, things like that. But I'm doing it for every team. And so I feel like it's, I only trust myself to do it. I don't know why. That's just, you know, the control freak in me to want to have everything absolutely perfect. But I put a lot of work in, and it's not just for myself. It's for the benefit of all Joe Gibbs Racing, and they reap the benefits of the work that I put in through the week. And, yes, they don't love it as much as probably I do, but I enjoy the process of being good at it. And as I've gotten older, I've realized that I'm not going to win these races on raw talent anymore. I'm going to have to outwork people. I'm just going to have to you know, look at things that maybe other people aren't looking at. And so I've learned to win them more with my mind than I have with my talent.
And I know it wasn't dominant like Martinsville was last week, but this is another track you've had a lot of success at over the year. Is the feeling similar to be able to get back to victory lane here, even though it was a little bit more recent than Martinsville?
I mean, Martinsville just has it had a special place because it had been so long, and it seemed like my wins here at Darlington have been spread out throughout my 20 years. You know, I started out winning like every Xfinity race I ever, you know, entered at this track for a while. And so I just had a lot of success here, and it's been spread out. But Martinsville was just like, it was really clumped together, and it was all at the beginning of my career. And, you know, I just was really agitated about not being the best at that track for a long time. And so if that one felt good for those reasons, but it still feels good from my standpoint that, you know, I can, at 44, I can still go out here and win back-to-back races and, you know, be in contention week in, week out, and you know, still be at the top of my game. I nothing's dropped off.
We'll come over here to Claire.
Claire Belang. I think it was after you were here for a media avail earlier in the weekend, and we talked about confidence, and I said you ever lack confidence, and you said no. How does a second win figure into all of that? You don't want to get cocky, and yet there was something on X this week that it said, if you boo Denny, I think it was Michael Jordan, if you boo Denny, he's just going to come back, and he's going to rub it in your face. It's going to happen, right?
Yeah, there's motivation in it, for sure. I mean, right, you love getting you know, excitement out of the people. You like making them feel a sort of way, whatever way that might be, positive or negative. It's good to know that you have that effect on someone. And so, I don't know. It's I love the fans. You know, they don't really love me that much, but, you know, I think it's just, you know, my personality, and I understand that. And, you know, I bring it upon myself most times, but I love it, and I love the reaction that I get out of people.
When you're doing lap after lap, and a guy is, like, leading every lap, what's going on in that Denny Hamlin head?
You know, I'm just, truthfully, I'm thinking about how can I get the best finish for myself. I don't have the race-winning car. I'm not going to put it right on the fence and push this thing to going and making a mistake and turning a top five day into a day where I crash out and lose a bunch of points. So I'm always thinking about how I can get the best day I can. And truthfully, it's something weird that goes on my brain. Every stage that goes on, I will move the goalpost of the goal for the day. Obviously, when I start the race, the goal is to win. And by the time I get to lap 50 to 100, I'll know, do I have a race-winning car or not? And I will instantly shift to, okay, here's what I have. I need to finish between blank and blank spot today. That's what this car is capable of doing. How can I execute that? And as stages go on, maybe my track position changes, maybe for the better, maybe for the worse. You know, it could have gone the other way. What if I had a terrible pit stop and I've been 20th with 50 to go? Well, at that point, I would have said top 15. Get myself in the top 15, and then I'm going to consider this day, you know, I did the best job that I could. So I'm always moving the goalpost on myself throughout a race. And today was just one where when I got mired in the back of the pack, it was top 10. That's what I thought I was at my ceiling. But a caution comes and it flips the field upside down. And next thing you know, I'm up front. And it's like, okay, I don't have anything for that guy, but I've got everything. You know, I've got enough for everyone else. And so second place was the ceiling until that last caution.
We'll take one final question from Reed.
Yeah, basically, Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire. You basically just answered my question. As decisive as that final pit stop was, the caution that interrupted that cycle of pit stop seemed to be just as important in terms of restoring your track position.
The last Larson one?
Yes.
That was the key moment. I just don't know how we were going to make it back up towards the front. You know, if I think that we had a 7th to 10th place car and we were kind of mired in, like, 15th around that time, we did something to change the quota, right? Like, okay, well, how are we can't just pit with everyone. We're just going to get stuck here in this spot. And so we went long, like we always go long. My crew chiefs always leave me out there long and tell me just go out there and optimize lap time. And luckily, a caution fell the right way. Now, while it might seem lucky, at Las Vegas, it went the other way. I was running top two at the end of the race. We pit, caution comes out, and we finish 25th. So it's just, you do this enough times, the odds just, hopefully it just balances itself out. And, you know, we got one back that we, you know, should have had at Las Vegas. And so it's that caution was crucial, and it really changed the day, it looked like, for most of the top 10.
All right, Denny, thanks for your time, and congrats again on the win.
Thank you.